listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio, focusing on solutions and thinking different.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to Circle of White Light Radio with myself, Alan James. It's the 28th of November, 2021. It's getting cold out there now. Winter's coming in and you're putting the heating on a lot more these days. And it's pretty cold. There's actually predictions of snow and everything else. So wrap up and keep warm as usual. Right, my guest on the show tonight is a chap called Anthony O'Flynn. And Anthony is based in Australia, and he's got up at silly o'clock this morning to come on the show to do the live show. So fair play to Anthony. We'll be bringing Anthony in a few minutes and having a chat with him about things that are going on. And as usual, we have a few things to go through. But before we do that, we'll find out what the communication channels are.
The communication channels are email. Contact us at circleofwhitelight.com, by phone 046-927-1212, or sign up to our newsletter via our website at circleofwhitelight.com.
As you know, the website's circleofwhitelight.com, and we're on Patreon, patreon.com/COWL, or on PayPal if you can donate or afford a few quid to help support us. And, put a few quid towards the paid forward appeal. That's the plan there as well for donations. Obviously, December's coming up. The donation for December. So the PIF team are actually talking about it at the moment as to what we're going to be doing. So we'll have a meeting in the next couple of weeks and see what we're going to do with the actual donation. So we'll let you know what's happening there. Just see the listeners logging in there on the chat room. Good evening, everybody on the chat room. And a good point. Obviously, we had really bad weather over the weekend. It was a hurricane. Forget the name of the hurricane. Maybe somebody in the chat room will tell me the name. They always give it, you know, certain names, obviously. And it was really, really bad, the winds. So I hope everybody was okay after the weekend with the way it was with that weather. Hope people were. The property and everything else was okay. Okay, just a couple of things. As usual, we're going to talk before we get Anthony on. In the independent.ie, I don't know whether you heard about this, but it says here, three military camps will be adapted into isolation units to help deal with COVID surge. Cool Money Camp, Glen of Amal, County Wicklow. And I believe the Collins Barracks as well, and down the Curra as well, there's an army camp down there. And obviously they're doing the same thing in Australia. I'm sure you heard about it. So this is going to be kind of, their plan is to roll this out globally. And with the new laws coming out, well, look, I'm going to be talking about it in a few minutes because there's been a few changes. If you haven't been listening to what's going on, I'll give you a kind of an update on what's happening. There was an article in the Irish Mirror. Again, this is part of the cabal, the elite's desperation to try and shut down the inevitable. And always at the end of an empire, whether it's Egyptian, Roman or British Empire, you know, the laws that you bring out get stupid because of their desperation. And this is really what's happening now. They're trying to stem the flow of something that they just cannot stop and they just don't get it. And they're panicking and they're doing as much as they can. But unfortunately, it's not going to work because there's too many people waking up at the moment. And the article in the Irish Mirror.ie says that most secretive Garda unit deployed to take on far-right groups involved in anti-vaccine protests. It's a major deployment. The Garda's most secretive unit, I didn't know we had a most secretive unit. I know they're very secretive about, you know, releasing information that would make show them up to being, you know, obviously issues regarding corruption and mobile phones going missing and stuff like that. The Garda's most secretive unit has been deployed to take on far-right groups involved in anti-vaccine protests. It has emerged. The Star has learned that the National Surveillance Unit has now been ordered to spy on the right-wing activists that are becoming more active all over Ireland. more and more of a concern for Garda bosses. Now, I'm pretty sure I got this article on the irishmirror.ie, but it said the Star, so don't have to check that. The NSU, does it make a difference, really? The NSU is full steam on them now, a source said last night. It's a major deployment, so that's where all their tax money is going. The NSU is a hush-hush Garda organisation that normally mounts undercover operations against major gangsters and terrorists. Oh, that's what we are, because we're standing up for our rights. So people who are against the system pushing out mandatory vaccines are gangsters and terrorists now. That's what they're labelling us as. And the fact that they have been deployed shows just how seriously Garda are taking the threat from right-wingers. Unbelievable. The deployment comes as officers express concerns that right-wing extremists have infiltrated anti-vaccine and anti-lockdown protests that have taken root all over Ireland and are using them to spread their racist, bigoted hate. Unbelievable. Who writes this stuff? I'm just reading it out. The NSU, who go undercover to carry out secret physical and electronic surveillance of suspects, are understood to have begun targeting the right-wing groups in recent weeks. That comes in the wake of increased far-right activity in anti-vax and anti-lockdown groups, as well as the picketing of homes of senior politicians and journalists. Well, but when politicians make decisions that go against what the people want, i.e. more taxes and taking away your freedoms, what do they expect for the people to be happy and smiling? You know, seriously, these people just need to get their head examined. Sources say Gardaí believe many of the people who have been involved in the protests outside homes of figures, including Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou McDonald, and even Liveline presenter Joe Duffy, are not far right, but that an increasing number are. Some people getting involved in the protest could not be described as far right and would be aghast at being considered in that camp, a source said. But it is clear that it's always a source. You never mention name, it's a source. It is clear that right-wing extremists are involved in many of these protest groups. They are using them to build up their own profile and to increase support for their own views. And the involvement of the far right has led to a major Gardaí probe into the protests, as well as security reviews for senior ministers. Yeah, well, that's what happens when you annoy the people of Ireland and the general public, taking our rights away and charging them more tax. And then you wonder why are the people upset? Let me guess. Honest, it drive you nuts, really would, these people. But look, at the end of the day, I'm reading these out because Arwen, that's it, Storm Arwen, thanks Phyllis, on the chat room, Storm Arwen, that's the one. I'm reading this information out because this is the desperation of the cabal and the elites and the politicians, and they're told to sing off a certain hymn sheet. This is what you do, it's the same hymn sheet that gets passed around to every other country, and they're rolling this totalitarian tiptoe out. And they're trying to bring in their system. But they're going to fail because more and more people are waking up and seeing through it. And they're going, yeah, booster jab, yeah, forget about that. And it's just a matter of time. We just have to be patient. And I know it's frustrating for all of us who are awake and aware of what's going on. It's very frustrating because we are being affected by it, not being able to go into certain shops and pubs and restaurants and all that kind of stuff. But look, you know, it is what it is. Dunkirk spirit and all that. We have to kind of, go with the flow until this shit show, I'll call it that, finishes. Okay, so my week, just a couple of things. This week they're trying to rush in new laws without scrutiny by the 15th of December, which will mean that they can pick you up off the street if they think you have COVID. Apparently, they don't need to confirm that you have it. They just need to suspect you have it. They're also getting the army isolation camps ready, which I mentioned earlier. Collins Barracks and Curry and Adair is one of them. This is a level of draconian laws that are coming airway. Well, this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to get it passed. Now, I know Maddie McGraw was on video. I put up a video to expose what they're doing and what they're trying to bring in. So there is a handful of politicians in the Dáil who are fighting for our rights and saying this is out of order. But unfortunately, all the parasites that are all part of the parties, you know, the government whips that tell them what to do, and they have to vote the way what they're told to do, are all putting their own personal interests in rather than putting in the interest of what the public want and what the people in their constituents want. That's just the way it is. I don't know why people, and people keep voting them in. They keep voting these parties in as if they're like football teams. It's unreal, unreal. On a good note, well done to everyone who went to the protest in Dublin yesterday. Thousands turned up making a statement to the government that what they are doing is unacceptable. So well done. If you did get to the protest, well done for showing up. And, you know, Ireland is now on the list of a lot of people turning up and protesting globally about what's going on. Now, the other thing that's going on, and people kind of have forgot about this, and I want to give it a mention, and I'll probably talk to Anthony when he comes on about this as well, is that we better not forget about Ghislaine Maxwell trial is going to start. So let the distraction attempts begin. Yes, I'm sure they will be trying to distract us from this sideshow. The presiding judge is apparently a cabal shill. So if this is true, don't expect anything serious to come out of it. We'll see what happens. So Ghislaine or Ghislaine, whoever her name is, Maxwell, she was a friend of Epstein, or Epstein, again, named. And if she spills the beans, and if she does spill the beans and mentions all these high-ranking politicians and businessmen and all that kind of stuff, wow, we're going to see an awful lot come down the pipeline. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But we know that the cabal and the elites set up their own people. You know, the low-hanging fruit on the cabal tree will be, they'll be sacrificed to protect the people at the top. That's what they normally do. And obviously, the other thing, as a kind of distraction, really, is that they've started to push out the Omicron variant. So the new variant, Omicron variant, is an anagram for the word moronic. And obviously what they're saying is, oh yeah, you have to get your booster. But what's the point getting the booster if the booster has already been produced for COVID? So surely that's another strain and another virus that would have to be done. So what's the point in getting the booster? So it doesn't make sense to me. Doesn't make sense to me. Anyway, I'm going to bring in my guest, Anthony O'Flynn. Anthony O'Flynn is a true pioneer in the field of modern spirituality. His outlook allows him to navigate a broad range of topics and modalities while drawing connections and offering profound insights into consciousness and the spiritual path. Anthony's ability to link the ancient and the modern provides a bridge between traditional spirituality and a 21st century lifestyle. Anthony's approach is flavoured by his engaging style, spirited humour, profound knowledge and light-hearted, relatable manner of communicating timeless truths. Anthony holds a BA Honours Politics and an MA Communications, and from the outset was primed for a corporate career. However, his conventional background led Anthony to question the accepted consensus of mainstream values and life choices. After travelling extensively around the world for over 3 years in 1999 while in India, he was introduced to the tantric path of yoga and meditation. This amplified his lifelong interest in diverse aspects of mysticism and various metaphysical pursuits. Anthony teaches a diverse range of workshops, courses and retreats focusing on personal development, yoga, meditation, mindfulness and the path of tantra. With over 20 years on the path, Anthony is a skilled facilitator and presenter with an ability to communicate concepts that the audience can then directly integrate and embody, which creates many aha moments and genuine transformations that represent his unique gift. As a certified life coach, Anthony is a competent mentor, inspiring those who are on the path of inner awakening and growth. Anthony is also a director of the Paradigm Shift Summit, which is a movement of socially and spiritually aware people who recognize that an awakening is occurring as humanity evolves to a higher, more elevated level of consciousness. Anthony enjoys an eco-friendly lifestyle on the Sunshine Coast in Australia. He has just published his first book, Paradigm Shift, The Global Awakening of Humanity 2020 to 2040. It is available on Kindle format as well as a printed version on Amazon. Good evening, Anthony. How are you?
Morning, Alan. Am I coming through okay?
You are coming through okay. Thanks a lot for getting up at silly o'clock in the morning. I know it's ridiculous. It's about 5 o'clock in the morning for you, isn't it?
Just after five here, so you can't hold me accountable for any of the words that come out of my mouth at this time of the morning.
I know. Okay, I let you off on that one. I know it's silly o'clock. This is the problem when you have a live show and time zones to deal with. It can be a bit mad. But, Anthony, the last time that I had you on the show was January 2020, and little did we know what was going to be happening over the next 2 years, near enough. It has been a real game changer. Unbelievable what's going on. So I suppose we better get into playing catch up from that time to now and say what the hell has been going on, what's been happening. I know the world has been watching Australia because Dan Andrews and everything else that he's been doing down there has been draconian and just ridiculous. So give us an update on what's been happening.
Gee, I didn't realise it had been that long. I was trying to figure that out last night when the last time we spoke. It's been a incredible turn of events, really, coming up to almost 2 years now. Australia at times has been the focal point for much of the concern around the tyranny, the totalitarianism and the government oppression. And I must say, if you had told me a few years ago what would unfold and the manner it would unfold over 2020, 2021, I actually just wouldn't have believed that those events would transpire and the public would buy into such a bizarre and obvious hoax that, you know, has been given repeatedly the opportunity to discover that it's just a big lie. And there are so many things in Australia that have happened, and we're questioning a lot here at the moment in Australia, who we are as a nation, who we are as a people, who we thought we were, and also where we need to go, Alan. So, there's a lot to discuss there. Where would you like to begin?
Well, as I say, it's been 2 years and we didn't know what was around the corner. And the concern, really, what we're seeing in Australia is quite serious. I mean, you guys are probably one of the first countries to be a kind of scapegoat for the cabal, where they're actually going to test certain things down there. So give us an update on what's happening now with, because Dan Andrews just seems to be a complete another nutcase. And it's like he's throwing his ties out of the pram and people don't do what he wants them to do. You know, do what you're told and don't argue. And all these fines coming in, and if you don't wear your mask, I mean, I know you're in Australia, but are you in Victoria or are you in a different state?
Well, I'm actually in Queensland on the Sunshine Coast, which is the northern state on the east coast of Australia. So we have had the benefit of being able to see the oppression and the government measures unfold in both Victoria and New South Wales and also Western Australia, especially with a bit of a time lag to adjust. And in regard to that, it can be argued that the movement, the activists in Queensland are very organised, and there's quite a powerful movement here that is growing in numbers. And I should say also, as you'd be aware, and everyone who's listening to this, that the events are unfolding so quickly that it means that we could be talking in 3 weeks from now and the situation could have changed again. So everything you've said is true about the basic policies of Daniel Andrews, which are unprecedented. But having said that, the latest of what's actually happening in Australia, again, is another twist to the saga, in that on the weekend there were something like 700,000 people protesting in the streets of Melbourne. Approximately that number. And for a long time, people were really, I think internationally, really questioning why are Australians not accepting this and why are Australians not, you know, speaking out. And it appears that it was really because in specifically because of Melbourne, because of the lockdown laws were so severe. And we saw some unbelievable acts by the Victorian police force, which it was pretty shocking and ongoing. It wasn't just one or two acts that I think a lot of people were genuinely intimidated. And since the lockdown's ended, now you're seeing what's really on people's minds, and now people are protesting and basically camping out at the Parliament House. There's a bill going through at the moment, or attempting to go through, which will give even wider powers directly to Daniel Andrews or the Premier. So there is a lot of moves and counter moves occurring, and the voices of concern are now spreading throughout the community beyond sort of your stereotype activists to now people in the legal arena, people, professional people, just average people that are really concerned with the direction that particularly Melbourne and Victoria is going in, and all around Australia, actually. Last weekend, we had huge rallies, and also just the weekend that's passed as well. It's Monday morning here. So the situation is very fluid, Alan. Things are changing very rapidly, and wow, I mean, there's so much to talk about.
Okay, well, I mean, there's a couple of things that we are going to talk about on the show. There'll be, if the listeners have any questions for Anthony, as usual, put Q or question there so we can see it. We're also going to be talking about the positive side of things. Anthony has a book out that he's just released, and we'll be talking about that. But just do an update. Is there anything in particular that you're noticing taking place, maybe from a country level or maybe from a global level regarding this? Because when I think we all kind of were concerned at the very start. You know, March 2020, when it all came out, there was a little bit of a concern, you know, regarding it. And we were all thinking, okay, this kind of sounds, you know, quite serious. And then quite quickly, it was a case of, hang on a minute, no, this is not right. This is not, something's gone on here. But it's taken an awful lot more people a lot longer to wake up to what's going on. Even now, I've seen videos of people being attacked in supermarkets if you're not wearing a mask. And this is like nearly 2 years, well, say a year and a half later. So ignorance is a choice, because if people are just sitting there listening to the mainstream media and just listening to the rubbish that comes out of there without actually critically thinking, and obviously switching over to the other side and seeing what the other argument is, because we all, I've said it before, we've had Rachel Alexander on, who's a psychologist, you know, fear shuts down the prefrontal cortex, which is the critical thinking, and it leaves you in fight or flight mode, and it doesn't enable you to think. So have you seen over the year and a half this has happened, your friends and family, what's been going on there? Have you had fallouts? Have you had seen, you know, neighbours, friends, family? And have you seen any awakening around you in that time?
Well, all the above, I guess. I mean, we're at the stage now, as you said, where ignorance is a choice. People are choosing to bury their head in the sand. But I think that it's important to realise that if people truly understood what was unfolding at a global level and the global agenda, they wouldn't have the opinions that they do have, because they would understand the severity of what's occurring and the, well, the impingement on our way of life. I mean, basically here in Australia, you know, I will not be able to go to visit my mum in New South Wales for Christmas for the second year in a row, as things are now with the border closure. We're not free to travel around our own country. It's been a real shock to many Australians. And I think that in the beginning, people just basically trusted the government, the mainstream media, the official narrative that what was unfolding was true and there was a genuine health concern. But as time has gone on, this smokescreen has evaporated and the facts don't add up. The severity of the so-called pandemic doesn't add up. The validity of the PCR test is now basically, you know, universally questioned. I mean, I understand that it's CDC or even in America, they're either not using it anymore or December they're going to stop using it completely, as I understand it. So we are having a divide. It seems that at least as things are right now, people are understanding that this is not a division or a manufactured division of people who are deciding to have the medical treatment or not. And we're trying to move beyond that and understand that this is basically tearing our fabric of society in two with this medical apartheid, this medical discrimination. My mum, who's 86, she can't even go to the hairdresser. You know, it's some of the anecdotal things that you see. You know, my niece can't have her piano teacher come to my mum's place because my mum hasn't had the vaccination. And these sorts of issues are impacting people in a real way. And a lot of people are really questioning now the official story because it's leaking out the information of the truth of what's occurring. And it's also gradually affecting people in all different walks of society. And as I've always maintained, that it's like a ripple in a pond, like concentric circles expanding in a pond if you throw a pebble in it. And it's now because it's affecting more and more people and affecting their income or their mental health or their intimate relationship or, as you said, relationships with friends and family, that now everyone is starting to be affected by this. And it is a focal point of conversations of how we're managing our life. But at the same time, it's actually triggered people to become more engaged in the political process and become more outspoken and really finding out where people stand. And, I mean, I guess as we'll get into this, it's important to state at the outset that there's no spectators in this game. People are actually being forced by the divine will to take a side, and people who think that they can duck and weave and remain on the fence and just go along with the oppression and not taking a side, well, they're taking the side of the evil that's occurring on this planet, and there are no spectators at all.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because that's something I want to get into. We are going through a major shift at the moment globally, and the human frequency is off the charts. So we know there's energies hitting the planet and having a major effect. On the opposite side of that, obviously, you have mental health issues, maybe people who are not handling the energies very well, and it's causing a lot of problems. But as you say, it's not a spectator sport. Everybody has to get involved. Everybody has to wake up and realize what's going on, because we have to take responsibility for ourselves. There's no savior going to be coming to save us. We have to save ourselves. That's the whole idea of this exercise, is that we have to wake up and take responsibility for ourselves. I don't know, from where I'm sitting, that's a big ask. Now, I know we're being helped in certain ways regarding energy and stuff like that, but I still think it's a very big ask at this moment in time. Maybe you're seeing it from a different point of view. I don't know.
Well, I do. I see that the entire pandemic is actually the key catalyst for the global awakening as we shift into, in the Indian tradition, what's known as Satya Yuga, the age of truth, the cycles of time, the golden age of man. All those reference points in different traditions and ways of expressing the same abundant consciousness and elevated consciousness, whether you look at it as the second coming or however you define that. And we needed something to shake up the status quo. And the instability that's occurring in Australia now in the political system, it's actually the defining catalyst for this entire awakening process that is at a global level. I'm having people contact me from all over the world, and it's actually quite amazing. You know, we often focus on our own country or some of the key nations around the world, but it's happening globally, and we can actually, you know, see now that because this agenda has really gone from covert to overt, it's now more apparent, and it's also becoming more transparent. And this means that people now who have been on this journey from some years are being vindicated, that this process of global governance and global intervention in our daily life and all the other things that all these charming people have planned for us is now no longer a theory, but it's simply a work in progress. And enough people have recognised this now in Australia, at least, to stop this. And we're seeing a lot of action in the courts, in the political system, social activists, and people are now coming up with all kinds of solutions. And it's happening so fast, Alan, where I'm living as well. that it's quite amazing because we don't actually have the medical apartheid introduced yet into Queensland. So we have had a bit of a reprieve in the sense that we've seen that Victoria, the southern state, and also New South Wales, who we border, have that. So we've had time to collect our thoughts and organise ourselves around where we want to go and how we need to counteract against this. And quite frankly, I think that many of the politicians and the lobby groups and the bureaucrats are absolutely terrified of what's occurring in Australia because they realise that they've woken a sleeping giant. And the giant is never going back to sleep. This is only moving forward. Only more people will wake up and only more people will join this awakening movement. And we will have the status quo increasingly shaken up through this. And we have a number of key windows for opportunity for this, the first major one being a federal election in Australia, which will be at the latest in May next year. So you're going to see a lot of posturing politically, a lot of new candidates running for office, a lot of re-energising of people getting involved in the political process and really starting to get engaged, to have a voice and have that voice heard.
Yeah, well, this is it. I mean, personally over here, I'm deregistered, as people know. I am not registered to vote because I deregistered because I don't trust the voting system and I don't trust their government. It's that simple, and that's my own personal opinion. And that's why I deregistered. And I know people say, oh, but you have to vote. But why would you vote if you feel, and I feel in my own personal opinion, that the voting system is rigged, so it doesn't matter who you vote for, the same idiots still get in, as far as I'm concerned. So there has to be a shift, and I think, well, number one, Dolores Cannon did say that to tidy up the dirt, you have to see the dirt. So what we're seeing here is not something new. This has been going on for years, and what's been going on, child abuse and all that, but it's now coming out, and people are seeing it, and now they have to deal with it, and it's in their face. And all the kind of all the politicians and what they've been involved in and what's been going on and what they're trying to do. And maybe this is part of the panic, is they're realizing that people are waking up and realizing they'll be asking questions. And we're going, hang on a minute, you know, what about this when you did X, Y, and Z and this, that, and the other and everything else? So they're going, quick, get all these draconian laws in place so we can lock down the system so it doesn't matter what they think, we'll control them. Maybe that's part and parcel of what they're trying to do. But definitely the people waking up, and I'm not sure whether the voting system is the way to go. I know legally, I know they're talking about Nuremberg too. I know there's a lot of solicitors and lawyers involved, doctors coming out, whistleblowers, mentioning stuff. So all that's happening. So maybe that's the way we're going to deal with it, is going down the legal route rather than going down the voting route. Because, you know, I just, you know, if they control the system, they'll get another Tweedledum Tweedledee party in. It won't make any difference.
Yeah, look, that's definitely a major concern. And I appreciate that viewpoint, definitely. In Australia, we have a little bit of a different situation because we actually have a federal politician, Craig Kelly, who has left the Liberal Party, who was actually the party in government, who has now joined the United Australian Party and is leader of that party. And the support for that has been exponential. And you know, there is now a possibility that there could be a hung parliament, and this left and right paradigm of the two major parties could be broken at the next election. So we have that in the short term. Obviously, the entire political system worldwide needs to be overhauled, and maybe a newer system which involves more citizen contribution with the blockchain system, so people will vote more. It won't just be represented by one politician. People will be included in the political process at a much deeper level, more of a participatory democracy, or perhaps even some new system altogether. I'm sure that will evolve over time, but in the short term, this is a system we actually have, and any method that we have to put the brakes on this, introducing this greater tyranny in Australia, is very welcome at this point. And I think that what we're really seeing, we're in the early stages of this entire paradigm shift, And that's the contention of my book, that this will play out over the next 20 years and actually even more. But basically now the darkness is becoming illuminated, and many people would say it is intensifying. I would disagree. I would just say it's becoming more revealed because the status quo is actually breaking down. And as this instability intensifies, it actually gives the opportunity for the new systems, the new ways we structure our society in terms of government and the bureaucracy and the legal system, the medical system, education system, all these things, for birthing of new modalities and a new way of doing things.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm doing some work in the background with, as people know, Kim and the Assemblies, and that's it's a global movement of people working on the global restoration plan. And we're all looking at trying to put things together, because when the system, or if the system does collapse and people go, well, what are we going to do now? Well, the whole idea is to have a backup, have a system in place to say, well, this is the new system. Here you go. We're going to start off with this. That's kind of the idea as to, and it's in its infancy at the moment. So, you know, it's going to take a while to set that up and get things organized. But that's the kind of the plan. That's really what's going on at the moment, because we're moving away from the hierarchical system, because that doesn't work. The corporate world hierarchical system doesn't work. The few people controlling the many doesn't work. We are moving towards a fluid cooperative model, which works much better, and it's been tried and tested and works, and it's very successful. And that's what we're talking about. So that needs to be pushed out there, and that needs to be changed. And for people who are so used to that system, because we've all grown up where we've got a job and there was always a boss, or we had a boss and he the boss. That was the way the system was and has been and still is at the moment. But that suits them. It doesn't suit us. It's not power to the people, where the cooperative model gives power to the people. And that's the way we're going to be moving forward. I would say also, Anthony, that maybe you should be looking at direct democracy, because direct democracy means that you're giving the power back to the people to make the change and vote on what's happening, rather than leaving it up to the politicians to do it. I don't know whether your government party that you support is going to be looking at something like that.
Well, that's really one of the key things that's actually being revealed, is that these politicians are not representing the will of the people. And, you know, they're obviously working for people in the shadowy control systems that are, you know, hidden from the public. They're just the public face for this global agenda. And people are becoming very disillusioned in politics here in Australia. But the real issue at a deeper level is, at least, you know, you wanted to give an overview of Australia, is that we have had things so good here for my entire lifetime, that the Australian people in many ways haven't gone through the rite of passage of growing up. And that's why we, in my view, are really getting sort of this oppression really full on, and we've attracted so many headlines from around the world and been in the mainstream media for what's occurring in Australia. And, you know, Australia used to be regarded as the lucky country. We've always had quite a good standard of living. We have a fairly egalitarian way of life, fairly, you know, good opportunities, and we have a fairly stable political system. We have a fairly stable economic system, and the Australian way of life is fairly, it's, you know, we haven't had the crises, we haven't had the oppression of government that many other nations have had, particularly when you think about with economic crisis. Sure, we had the depression, we had the GFC, but it was never as bad as what the other nations were. And because of this, we've all become a little bit complacent, we've all become a little bit too trusting of the government, and this she'll be right, mate attitude, which Australians are known for, which it's not actually serving us. And that's why we've had such a difficult time of it, particularly in places like Melbourne, and even Western Australia has been quite extreme in some ways as well. But now this rite of passage for us to grow up and mature and start to have a voice and get involved in the political process is exactly what the collective consciousness here in Australia needs to actually mature and grow up. And we're finding out that that's really a difficult place for a lot of people to come to terms with the fact that the government is not representing them, that the government has betrayed them, and the government has no interest whatsoever in benefiting the people as a whole, that basically they're working for lobby groups and for transnational organisations behind the scenes, and it's becoming increasingly apparent. And people are starting to realise that we have to take our country back, and we, no one's coming to save us, and definitely not the politicians, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, definitely. I think it's going to, again, it has to be the power of the people. I mean, with the history of Ireland and what we went through as a country, you would think that the Irish people would be kind of going, hang on a minute, this is not going to happen again. But we're seeing it again, it's happening again, you know, except the landlords are now, the Irish landlords, not the English landlords, evicting people from their homes, and the banks coming in. And, you know, we have a constitution, they seem to be ignoring the constitution, and just it's just destroying the country. I mean, the we have about 10,000 people homeless in Dublin. That was the last figure that I was given. And we're only a country of 5 million people, so we're not a lot of people. And the amount of deaths, obviously, and suicides is just phenomenal. And yet, I don't know whether people... You know, we had a DJ over here in Ireland called Jerry Ryan that used to be... He died a few years ago. And used to say, Ireland is a country full of NIMBYs. And a NIMBY is not in my backyard. So as long as it doesn't happen to me or in my backyard, I don't care about anybody else. But the problem is that attitude doesn't stand up anymore, because, again, you know, the old saying, they came for the, you know, the Mead people and there's nobody there to support us. And they came for the Sligo people and there's nobody there. And then they came for us and there's nobody here to support them, you know. Whatever that, you know, people know that saying that goes around. And this is it. Trying to educate people to say, look, it's people power. You're going to need to stand up. You're not going to need to get involved. You're going to need to do something about it. Get together, local groups, support each other as much as you can. But, you know, I don't know. It's a bit of a struggle. I know that we are being helped. And let's have a look at that. Let's talk about that. Because at the end of the day, there are, you know, celestial influences going on. Let's say the energies of the planet, and there's other things going on. And as you say in your book, you know, you're saying, no, I obviously haven't read your book, but your title is 2020 to 2040. So you've obviously analysed that, had a look at the situation we're in. And then you've said, okay, here's the path we're possibly going to be taking over this next 20 years. So tell us, I mean, what is the content of the book? Why did you say 2020 to 2040? Why is that?
Well, basically, this process that we're undergoing, it has been commenced before 2020. I mean, really, the end of the long count of Mayan calendar, December 21st, 2012, was a key moment for the change of the subtle reality, like the non-physical world, the astral world, which will then translate into a shift of consciousness in the physical world. And I think it's important at the outset to say that, you know, much of the focus of the deep state of the elite, all these terms, the people working behind the scenes to enslave humanity, ultimately they're actually working for the light. They don't actually realise that, because their attempt to create, you know, this one world government, one world agenda, whatever label you want to give to it, New World Order, whatever, all those titles, they are actually serving as a catalyst to create this massive change. And this is their last attempt to carry out their agenda, because people often overlook the more cosmic and galactic principles that are occurring. And really what's occurring at the deepest level, which is every single aspect of their plans, whether it's the geoengineering, the geomodification of food, the fluoride in the water, the medical mafia, the breaking of the human spirit, which has been one of the biggest things, these compliance exercises with the masks and all the other things that we've seen with this pandemic, is basically to hijack the process of this human awakening. And this is unstoppable, Alan. This process cannot be stopped. And although we are now in the major window of change, it will continue after 2040, but it has started before 2020. depending how you define it, some people will define it as even going back to the counterculture of the 60s, which is the seeds or the birthing of the Aquarian Age, and now we're starting to move into this more clearly. So I would say to people who are listening to this, be extremely optimistic about what is happening. Yes, there is going to be massive collateral damage in terms of people who have taken experimental medication, in terms of people's finances, their mental health, their friendships, the division they're going with their colleagues, even their own family. But this is part of the splitting consciousness, and this is what will define this entire decade moving forward. And people are very, very confused about what's happening and are looking at the micro issues such as, I don't know, border closures in Australia, medical apartheid, medical segregation. But there's a much bigger process that's occurring. And this is basically the transition from one yuga, as it's known in the Hindu tradition, to another. And the cosmic cycle is basically the sum total of four different yugas. So the sum total is 26,000 years as a cosmic cycle. And we're basically moving from one yuga to another. And I define that as basically two tectonic plates pressing up against each other. So the new yuga coming in is the tectonic plate that is on top, and the yuga that is leaving is the one that is on the bottom. And as these tectonic plates move up against each other, this consciousness butts up against each other. There is this tension, and there is a crumbling of the old, and there is a birthing of the new. And this is actually happening simultaneously. And this is why it's important too, as you've mentioned earlier, to focus on the creation of new systems, because that is the birthing of the new paradigm. And also to allow these old systems to crumble. I mean, I think that it's a balance between birthing the new and also not abandoning the old, because we're still using those systems as they are today, tomorrow, for the foreseeable future. But to understand that this transition, everything is on the table for change, and no stone will be left unturned. And what concerns me the most about this entire process is not people's understanding of what's occurring in terms of geopolitics and the medical mafia and the ongoing coercion and abuses of human rights. It's the fact that people don't have a very grounded understanding of metaphysics, and they don't have a grounded understanding of their unique role in this global shift. And if, without that perspective, without that understanding, without the soul connection to their own soul evolution, there will always be a piece of the puzzle completely missing. And this piece isn't just an aspect. It is the defining process of the awakening that we're all experiencing in our own unique way, and we're all having our own unique challenges, we're all having our own unique strengths. And this process will not start in one day and end with one election or with the birthing of a new financial system and that's it. It will be extremely turbulent. It will be turbulent even from the point of view of Mother Earth as she shifts as well. And the human spirit is being called on now to go to a place where we haven't been before in this civilization. And it's very exciting. And, yeah, this is the contention of the book that I've just published. And it really zooms out from a lot of the issues that are kind of we're looking at a day-to-day basis, which there's no point writing a book about that, because today's headlines is just tomorrow's history, because things are moving so quickly. Mm. But what we're seeing now is that from a planetary point of view, that this shift is affecting everybody, and this consciousness is gradually starting to bifurcate into two levels of consciousness. And at the same time, there is a whole, what I call an intermediary zone group of souls, which for them, they've incarnated for this process, and it's unclear or undetermined as to where their soul will end up on this journey. So it's there's a lot to go into with this, but that's basically the intro as far as how I see this process unfolding.
Yeah, I was going to say, what is your take on this split? Because I've interviewed a number of guests and we've talked about this, and everybody has their own kind of take on it, which is great. But obviously with the jab, let's call it that, you know, that seems to be an issue. That seems to be One of the things I've heard on multiple occasions is that the jab is the thing that will define which side you're going to be on. Because if you've taken the jab, then you haven't used critical thinking and you're not awake and aware. And I know some people had to take it because they had to keep their job and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, that would probably be taken into account. But there seems to be QHHT people and spiritual people out there saying that this division, that this divide is going to happen at some point. They're going to repel each other, the energies. And Dolores, obviously, Cannon talked about it as well regarding the two worlds. Obviously, people's vibrations and energies are different. So what's your take on that? Do you see, obviously, I know you just kind of alluded to it there in your last chat there, but looking more into detail about this, do you see this getting more and more where there's going to be a split? And maybe from a frequency point of view, where we'll get to the stage where the people who are outside the matrix and unjabbed will be on a frequency high enough that people won't be able to see, the 3D people who are in the matrix and jabbed and who want that system won't see us. I mean, this is what's being said. So do you kind of agree with that, or do you have your own take on things?
Well, we're seeing that the events of 2020 have revealed many people's consciousness and their inability to perceive reality as it is in terms of geopolitics and social, political, economic issues. And that has been very confronting for a lot of people to see just how indoctrinated and people's inability to think for themselves and their refusal to evaluate new information and so on. There's an entire chapter in my book, which is the longest chapter, it's titled Why Some People Don't Get It, where I go into that in depth from a consciousness point of view. And it's pretty confronting. It should come with a trigger warning, because without any judgment or criticism, not everyone will make this transition. And that's totally okay. Everyone has a different journey, and in the tapestry of the divine, you know, every stitch has its place, and in this way there is no right or wrong. However, what we do need to connect with is a deeper soul aspiration to embody the awakening and what the awakening really is, which we'll get into. So remind me to make some points on that later on, because this is another part of what I was referring to, is the existential confusion of what awakening is. And we need to get very clear on our journey through this as to what awakening actually is, because if we're not, then we're just going to spin our wheels and we're going to be endlessly revolving in sort of 24-hour news cycle and only focusing on some of these current affairs issues that are affecting us all around the world in different ways and also in the same ways. Now, when it comes to the medication, there is a causal it is a causal event in terms of taking the medication or not, but it is not definitive in my view. So by that, when people are assessing, and judging other people, which is not helpful, but we all do that from time to time. So there's no point pretending, we're these perfect saintly beings. We all have been tested in a lot of ways in the last, coming up to 2 years. But the medication will not be definitive, but it will be causal, but not in all cases. And by that, I mean, if someone has taken the medication, it doesn't necessarily mean they cannot migrate to the more higher timeline. And also, if someone hasn't taken the medication, it doesn't automatically mean that they will not be that they will automatically be on that higher timeline. But however, there will be a causal effect in that many people who haven't taken it will migrate to that timeline easier, but not everyone. So I hope I'm being clear on that. That's my view on that, that it is not definitive, that there will be people who you are surprised about somehow. They do manage to go through this awakening process very quickly. And then other people who you considered that were perhaps were more conscious actually weren't, in a lot of ways that perhaps were not obvious, at least to our perceptions of their soul journey. So this is going to get very, very, very complicated. But yes, the bifurcation of consciousness has been going on prior to 2020, actually. It's just that now it's more evident. And, well, what to say about how it's influencing people? It depends on people's choices that they've made for their entire life and even the choices they've made prior to incarnating as far as how do they want to experience this shift. You know, personally for me, I'm not having any diabolical divisions and so on. Most of the people that I'm associating with are on the same page with me. Same with my family, but not everyone. But I know when to keep my mouth shut. You know,
yeah.
I know everyone's at time perhaps haven't done that. I know I haven't always, but you know, there's no point just being like a bull in a china shop trying to convert people to the awakening when that may not be their soul journey. And to honor that soul journey that that person's making is actually a deeper form of compassion and understanding and recognition that they've come here to experience what they've come here to experience. And that's the beauty of their journey in this complete divine process of awakening and this global shift.
Yeah, I totally agree. There's sometimes you have to keep your mouth shut and talk about the weather and not go into any issues regarding the job because it's not worth it. They're just not going to get it. If anything, it'll probably cause more problems, you know, waking them up. So you just leave them to it. But there's a lot of mention about either a solar flare event going to happen or an energy event going to happen, which would be a deciding, well, it'd be the shift. The decision, the shift that will be made for people. And, you know, we've heard, I mentioned them before on the show regarding the East and West Gate and the Yellow Rose of Texas, and other people have talked about this. You mentioned the 26,000 year cycle, half of that is 13, and that's the hourglass. 13,000 years is the hourglass. And then as we get down to the hourglass, as we get to 13,000 years, the choice will be made. It'll be either people will be going to the West Gate, which will be the carry on the 3D because they still have life lessons to learn and they're not open-minded. And then the East Gate will be for the people like yourselves who are awake and aware and ready to move on to the next stage. Now, this has been obviously talked about and this energy wave that's coming in. And again, people have different descriptions as to what may happen if it does happen. Other people will say, well, no, actually, there's not going to be any energy wave. We just have to plod along and keep going with what's going on in the world until people finally get it, which I think is kind of technically, well, I just think it's a bit unfair for the people who are awake and aware because there's a lot of frustration from the people. I'm sure there's people in the chat room tonight who are, you know, they know what's going on. They're awake and aware. They have been for a very long time. And it's just frustrating. It's like somebody... It's like if you're in a race and it's a team race and you're up the front and there's a good chance you're going to win, but the people behind you in your team are pulling you back, and unless they speed up, you're not going to win the race. And you know, it kind of feels like that. It's kind of frustrating, I think, for a lot of truthers or people who are open minded, who know what's going on, that we. I mean, the fact that we have to kind of wait around until everybody else wakes up, that doesn't make sense to me.
Well, that's part of the process, and a couple of points there that people who have incarnated specifically for the awakening need to embody the consciousness of the higher frequencies in a way that their actions and behavior and speech and thoughts reflect that. And that is extremely challenging in this environment that we're in now. And we've all been in those states of frustration. And I think that's totally natural. I think it's really important to acknowledge that and to allow yourself to be in that state if you are going into it, but then also to attempt to move on from it. Because people are wanting in the awakening community other people to wake up. And I go into these themes a lot in the book, but we have to look at that more with a little bit more self-awareness and understand that phrase, you know, wake up, and it often comes with a lot of hostility and aggression and frustration, which are totally understandable. But at the same time, when we have that form of consciousness, we're actually attempting to dictate to another person what they think, what their values, what their viewpoints are, and what their outlook is. And that is also incredibly egotistical. And so for that reason, part of this process, as I am trying to experience it, is stand up, you know, and have my voice heard and get up and be of service and contribute and, you know, get up at 5 a.m. to talk with you, which is, it's a joy for me to do, but also to get out of the way of the insanity and to also to learn to coexist with the madness and the people who are mad. We've all seen those videos on the internet of people who are just basically lost all rational and coherent thought, and some of the government policies which kind of defy any logic or sense, and learn to coexist in peace with it while at the same time using this as an opportunity to evolve. And, you know, I can't say I succeed at doing that every day, but at least to acknowledge and understand that's what the goal is. Because when we start to talk about things like solar flares and these sorts of things, which may or may not happen, in terms of how it affects the consciousness, and the subtle reality is changing continually for the better, and that's where this turmoil is coming from. It's not because the darkness is leaving. It's because equilibrium is being restored and the light is now descending on this planet, which is causing the instability. Because up until now, the darkness is just basically in this epoch dominated human consciousness, and we've allowed it to just exist. We've allowed us to be ruled over, to be enslaved, and the light is now shaking that up, and we're now starting to come to terms with the fact that that's what's occurred, and the light is actually what's creating this instability. But our job on a daily basis is to, you know, become more heart-centered, and if we're embodying 16 units of love, then our focus is to move into 17 units of love, 18 units of love, because that's how our reality presents itself. And this really is the power of the classical spiritual paths such as Buddhism, Tantric Yoga, even Vedanta, is that they understand that the process of evolution and growth is a journey. And much of the rhetoric in the New Age movement is really a reflection of spiritual bypassing and a refusal to do the inner work, just regarding the spiritual path as a hobby and a kind of wishful thinking, and really not coming to terms with the fact of our own soul growth and looking into our shadow and, wow, I'm getting triggered that this person I know doesn't think the same way as I do. Well, what is it that we can learn from that? How do we grow from that? How do we learn to be compassionate to that person? And if necessary, which is happening a lot, you mentioned earlier, is it time to reevaluate my relationship with that person? I mean, I'm hearing stories continually of people losing friends, lifelong friends, you know, people getting divorced after decades and decades of marriage, or leaving their partner, or, you know, so many brave people here in Australia just in the last few weeks have basically resigned their career because of the coercion, and their soul journey is extremely turbulent at the moment, and the process they're going through is extremely rapid but extremely confronting. I mean, they can't even escape this, you know, for a day now that they've made this choice. And so these people moving on to the higher timeline, the higher consciousness, some of them are having a rapid evolution. And other people, they don't want to grow up. They don't want to mature. They want the government to look after them. They want to live in this nanny state. They want the TV to tell them what to do. And they're not moving into this place of sovereignty. And I know it's a word that's thrown around a lot in terms of ownership of resources, but sovereignty comes from a place of being stable within and to make your choices and to be accountable and responsible for those. And that's really one of the key themes of the shift as well. So you've opened a whole tin of worms with that last statement there, Alan.
I know, yeah, I know. Well, I've interviewed a number of people and we've talked about it. And, you know, again, there's loads of talk. Whether it's going to happen, I don't know. Let's go over to the questions, Anthony, and I'll throw them over to you there. Critical Annie has a question. Question for Anthony. Has he heard about an Australian protest group, Reignite Australia? Is it controlled opposition or legitimate? Would be interested in his thoughts. Re is a link to a webpage, Reignite Democracy Australia is the website there. So have you heard of that group in Australia?
Yeah, RDA is originated in Melbourne. In regard to that phrase, controlled opposition, Vladimir Lenin said the best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves. And this theme of controlled opposition, it's interesting because in the discourses, the themes, in at least in the Australian awakening community, it's, at least in my view, it's only really emerged in the last couple of years that we would have plants or controlled opposition or agents who are working, you know, in Australia. Often that conversation has been directed to overseas, particularly obviously the US and other countries. So for this to even be considered in the conversation in the Australian awakening community is very interesting because it shows a maturing of the Australian movement, and it also shows that people are starting to critically evaluate information at a new level, and it also shows that people are aware of the potential to be misled by any kind of saviour group or individual that's coming along. Having said that, pretty much everyone who has a profile at some point is accused to some degree of being controlled opposition. I'm sure you'd agree with that, right?
Yeah.
So it means that, you know, it basically means that they're having an impact. And the question you have to ask is if someone is being accused of controlled opposition, who is that? Who is accusing them of that? Because we've seen an outbreak of, you know, what I consider to be not credible profiles on social media. If you actually go and look at them, they look like they're not actually real people. And we need to look at who's actually making those claims and why. And I think that in terms of controlled opposition, eventually it will become obvious for not just the actions they do take but the ones they don't take, particularly what groups, organisations they don't criticise. I'm very careful to label anyone controlled opposition. In this case, I have heard other people claiming that in terms of RDA. I don't personally hold that opinion. That is to say, I have no reason at this point to think that claim is true. In time, maybe that will be reassessed or reevaluated. And I really do think that it's very important not to go around criticising people who are trying to make a difference, who are trying to do something to co-create the new reality, because it's very easy to pull people down. It's very easy to criticise anyone who, you know, has a public profile or is speaking out publicly in this way. None of us are perfect. We've all made mistakes. We're all flawed humans. So it's really important to be careful about what comments or statements I feel you make publicly about groups, because it can have a very detrimental impact on their efforts, and also those claims could be untrue.
Yeah, and, totally. Well, that's.
And I would always say, just let me finish this point, Alan. I would always say, well, what information leads you to that conclusion? Tell me what you've made the claim, that's fine, that you think this person is disinformation or controlled opposition or this is a psyop. Okay, well, tell me what information, why do you hold that viewpoint? And often when you actually hear that person's reasoning and evaluation, that evaluation is illogical. Mm. And often they will actually come back to what they don't realize is that it's intuitive. And I'm not dismissing that they actually have an intuitive feeling or something like that. I'm not dismissing intuition. But often in those situations, many people don't realize that they're basing their opinion not on logic, rational thought, or coherent evaluation of information. It is, in fact, intuition, which could be right. It might not be right. But to be clear, I have no reason at this point to think that they are controlled opposition. And it's a very strong thing to publicly accuse someone of, because you can literally destroy their efforts to make a difference and to get elected, because my understanding is that they are getting involved in the in the state election next year, that'll be held next year in Melbourne in Victoria. So, I wish them all the best. I hope that the tentacles of controlled opposition is not in Australia. There are other people that have been accused of controlled opposition. And I'm definitely not going to be saying at this point that I think anyone's controlled opposition, because we're in such a desperate situation that if it turns out to be wrong, then you have sabotaged someone's efforts to get elected to represent the will of the people or to have a voice in this conversation. And in that way, you are actually operating on the side of the darkness, and you're actually unconsciously perhaps succumbing to other efforts of psyops and misinformation to confuse you. So this is a very, very complex topic, this issue of controlled opposition. Look, it is out there, and it's very important to have a high level of discernment and perhaps even just sit on the fence and watch events unfold and see where the ball bounces and what occurs, because eventually in time, if someone is an agent, if someone is working for a clandestine organisation, it does become fairly obvious for the ones who have the eyes to see.
I agree. Very well said. Obviously, their actions will determine exactly whose side they're on. Rather than what they say, don't listen to what they say, watch what they do. And I think that would be, these days, I don't actually, when I hear people talking, I take it on board, but I watch their actions, because their actions will tell me more about where their mind is at rather than what they say. Because there's too many people out there giving the narrative, giving out, information and everything else. And you say, well, what are you doing about that? And all they're doing is talking and they're not doing anything else. And I go, okay, no, I want to see action. I'm interested in people who are taking action, not just talking about it. And that's the interesting thing there. But that's the problem. It's easier to judge than to think. So they will actually be making a judgment, and could be a judgment based on the belief system they have, could be wrong, or also they might have their own personal agenda. So they might be trying to cause division by putting that information out there, that false information. So when you hear people saying that they're controlled opposition, as Anthony says, ask them, what information do you have to actually give you that belief? And I think it's good to question that. And that's the trouble. People, to think takes energy. And a lot of people don't want to think. Even to think about what's going on, people are outsourcing their thinking to the government. And they think, I can't be bothered doing all the research. I'll just outsource it to the government. And then they use that as their research to argue the point. It's just ridiculous. Anyway, next question for you. Liam wants to know, question for Anthony, is the Australian government about to fall?
Great question, Lee. well, we, as I said, we've got a federal election. The latest it will be May 2022. It appears at this point that the globalists, at least, are not supporting Scott Morrison as they were. The interaction he had at the G20 in Glasgow was disastrous. On a world level, he's a total embarrassment for us as a prime minister. And the media have not been supporting him recently. He's already in election mode with the statements he's making about government having less of a role in Australian lives. He is from a marketing background. That's why his nickname is Scotty from Marketing, which I think is hilarious. When you say fall, I don't think there'll be any destabilisation in Australia in that way in the short term. I do think in terms of economic collapse, which is probably a much more relevant conversation even than COVID. COVID's like in some ways a diversion that people are focusing on this thing. Don't understand the severity of the economic collapse that's coming. It's kind of interesting that people are hypnotised by that and don't understand the next phase of where this is going. I don't think there'll be any major destabilisation in the Australian political landscape before the federal election because the globalists will want to ensure that they get their candidate re-elected, whether it's going to be Scott Morrison in the Liberal Party or Anthony Albanese in the Labor Party. But the problem, as I mentioned earlier, is that this support for this UAP, United Australia Party, is huge and will only intensify as we move into the election cycle. So there is perhaps a greater pressure at a state level in Victoria for more upheaval there. They have their election next year, late in the year. I think it's October or November. So they're going to have greater turmoil there, particularly when these politicians realise that Daniel Andrews is finished and perhaps they sack him as their leader before the election itself. But as far as the system itself, it will remain in place for 2022, as I see it. So back to the point that you asked me before, I should say this because this is an important point, is in terms of this window of shift, of the collective shift 2020 to 2040, this key astrological configuration of Pluto moving into Aquarius actually begins in 2023 and then it retrogrades back into Capricorn and then will stabilise and be continually in Aquarius from 2024 onwards. So in my view, the next 2 to 3 years will be the years of key oppression, key tyranny, and then this will actually gradually dissipate. But there will be key moments that you'll see the House of Cards starts to fall, but it won't fall, you know, completely in one go. It will be like a sort of a gradual process with key, what I call nodes, like I refer to it as nodes, like a key moment, like in the collective, like a node that this moment is like coming to accelerate the awakening. So the Australian government, the political system, as I see it, will continue into 2022. Look, there will be like calls for the governor to sack the state premiers, for the governor general to sack the federal government. I mean, this election coming up in Australia will be potentially the most historic federal election in the history of the nation. So, you know, stay tuned for this because the government are lucky that the election wouldn't be later in the year because by then the support for all of this tyranny and these mandates will have diminished even further. So we really are now in we're really in the end game, but the end game will go on for quite a while. So, you know, this is it's going to be a marathon. It's not a sprint, but I think things will stay in intact for at least the foreseeable future. But the political system is under huge pressure here because people do see how flawed it is and how the preferential voting system is just designed to keep the two major parties in power and all these sorts of things. And it's exciting to watch.
Yeah, no, I mean, sitting back from looking back from a celestial point of view at the Earth and what's going on, it's quite interesting, you know, especially when you are aware of the magic trick. That's what I call it, the psychology they're using. If you know how the magician is going to do the trick, then he's not going to fool you because he'll know how the trick is done. And the trick is the psychology they're using. And I say that to people. I say, look, they're using this psychology method to manipulate and control you. And once you know what they're doing and how they're doing it, then it won't work on you because you'll know the trick. So they get it, you know, when I kind of explain it that way. But we have, I'm just watching the time there, Anthony, but we have a few questions to get through. So if we can quick fire these over to you, that'd be great. Bluebell wants to know, question for Anthony, since Dan Andrews has given everyone the hump, when are the people going to give Humpty a kick in the arse?
Well, they're trying to now. I mean, you know, the chance of sack Dan Andrews heard in the streets on Parliament House can, you know, I think at the moment they're pretty much someone's there 24/7. I mean, I know they were camping out earlier last week 24/7. I don't know whether that's continued, but that man, that one man, and the people who he's working for behind the scenes, the devastation that he has caused Melbourne and the state of Victoria is so extreme. I mean, I actually went to school and university in Melbourne. I lived there for 10 years. I love that city. It's a great city. And it used to be the most livable city in the world. And the people in Melbourne, you know, they are traumatised, even if they don't realise what they've been through. They went through something like 262 days of lockdown, the most lockdown city in the world. So if there were 700,000 people on the weekend protesting through the CBD in Melbourne, you can be sure that that's probably times three, times four of the number of people who are opposed to his policies and the way they've conducted everything in Melbourne through this pandemic. They're trying to. This is the thing, is that it comes back to the system itself. And I think it's important to understand that the elite globalists, they want you to project all the frustration and opposition towards the political leaders, because they're just pawns in this game and they're just replaceable with the next tyrant. I mean, we saw that in the case of when Gladys resigned in New South Wales, and now we've got the new premier. The policies continue the same as before. Nothing changed. Mm-hmm. And they want you because it's like the puppeteer. Everyone's watching the puppets and no one's looking at the puppeteer. And that's really what people need to start to think about, is who is these people working for? Where is their direction coming from? What's their agenda? How is it so orchestrated all over the world with these phrases like social distancing and these mandates? You know, how can it be so orchestrated and so, you know, in sync in this way? And the process for removing a premier is not easy. I mean, it's basically through the election cycle, you know, and all the party dump him, and people want him gone. But this is the thing, is that people need to discover, to create this new political system, how completely dysfunctional and unrepresentative the current system really is, that these people are working for lobby groups behind the scenes, all these different influences, and these people are simply puppets. They have no integrity or even desire to represent the will of the people whatsoever. And the reason why these events are occurring is it needs to be crystal clear in the mind of the collective that this system is broken, that we're in systemic failure, and that this entire paradigm of so-called democracy has absolutely no place in truly representing the genuine will and representing the needs and the values of the people. And, it's getting worse and worse because people need to see this clearly. So the question obviously is, well, how bad does it need to get? Well, the answer to that is, how long will it take the majority of people, the collective, to see how dysfunctional this system truly is? And I guess we're working our way through that process, and we're yet to discover how bad things really have to become.
Yeah, totally. And all countries are going through this process and are at all different levels at the moment. Okay, Shane wants to know a question. Do you think that Australia's First Party are good? From here, they look like they are the only ones standing up to the government.
Are you First Party? Do you mean, I'm not sure what political party you're referring to there.
Yeah, okay. Shane, if you can...
Is that Australia One with Ricardo Bossi?
It says Australia First Party. I don't know whether that's a political party down there. I'll ask Shane, he's on the chat room there. Shane, if you can clarify what party that is, I'll go to the next question. Slim Boy on PIR wants to know, is Guest aware of Dale Holmes? He is doing great work.
Yeah, I've seen some of his videos. He is very... he has a lot of his content that he's making is focusing on the pedophilia and the institutionalized pedophilia, which of course is going to become a big topic this week with the trial of Ghislaine Maxwell commencing. So he's very well researched and he has a very good overview and very in-depth understanding of the topics that he's discussing, and he's definitely someone to look to as a credible source of information. Absolutely.
Okay. Shane said it's Oz One, if that makes sense.
Australia One, so that's Ricardo Bossi's party. Yeah. Well, they don't have a seat in Parliament yet, so it's very easy to be very critical of the government when you're in opposition. Getting elected and getting things done is a totally different story, and the reality of the party room mechanisms and the party room of controlling the votes and so on means that the government, you know, has things stitched up as far as introducing bills and so on. He is having a military background, Ricardo Bossi, and he is very outspoken. He's very clear of the way forward. You have to listen to him yourself to actually appreciate his viewpoints and his take on things. He has a military mind, and he will be around for some time. And let's see where that journey goes. Obviously, you know, in the political landscape in Australia, he's starting out to build a profile and to gain credibility and to gain the trust of the people. He is making progress with that. There's a number of people supporting him. Whether he is that's going to translate to the ballot box, time will tell.
Okay, no problem at all. John wants to know, does Anthony believe in the Super Shemitah year or Sabbath year occurs every 7 years, the 49-year cycle? This is from Old Testament books and Exodus and Leviticus.
Well, I mean, yeah, that is a forgiving of the dead, and that is a tradition in the Bible. I don't remember the last time that was relevant for the modern day fractional reserve banking system, though.
Yeah, I don't think that would apply to today.
So, I'm not sure if you call up your local bank and tell them that, you know, refer to the Bible, whether they'll let you not pay your mortgage anymore. I'm not sure how applicable that really is to this era.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, and Joan again wants to know, Ricardo Bossi, you mentioned him there a minute ago, in Australia, he said that the government has betrayed you and sold you to China on Kalkin and media. Does he trust it?
The government? The media? Or?
Well, I'm not too sure what Kalkin is and the media, but does he trust... Ricardo Bossi in Australia, does he trust Kalkin and the media? Do you trust Kalkin and the media? I'm not sure what Kalkin is, actually, John.
I'm sorry to say I don't know what that is. Do I trust the media?
Does anybody trust the media?
I have a master's in communications. I do not trust the media at all. But I would say this about the media. Whenever you watch the mainstream media, simply ask this one question. What is this person trying to get me to think? Mm. Flip the script. Instead of passively consuming the content from free-to-air, from, you know, digital print media, from radio, whatever content, whatever format it comes in, simply ask this question. What is this person trying to get me to think? It is such a powerful question.
Yeah.
There's a chapter in my book on the mainstream media, Alan, and they are simply an arm of the corporate statist propaganda machine. That's really what. There is no such thing as genuine journalism in this country anymore. It's completely regulated and censored.
Yeah, and I think most countries are the same. There's a difference with reporting the news and creating the news, or being given the news what to say. It's all being manipulated. We have a few minutes left there, Anthony, so I want to talk to you about your book. Obviously, this is your first book. Well done, getting it sorted. I know I did contact you during the year, and I said you fancy doing an interview, and you said, oh, I'm busy with my book, I have to get it sorted, and I'll give you a shout when the book is done, and then we'll have a talk about it. So tell us about the trials and tribulations of getting your book done, why you decided to do it, and the information that people will gain from reading your book.
Yeah, well, I apologise, Alan. I know, we've been messaging back and forth, and I've been postponing coming back on, and there's been a number of things this year that's been going on that have delayed finishing the book. But, it's a huge percentage of people that start writing books and never finish them, and I was really determined to complete it, and I'm really glad just to have it out there because, the themes in it are so current. I started writing it last year, actually. I think it was around April, May, and I found the writing part of it extremely easy, but I found the actual editing part more time-consuming than what I thought, and actually finalising it was quite a challenge. So now I do understand the challenge that people go through in actually writing a book to actually finish it, which it may sound easy just flippantly talking about it, but, yeah, it was hard, particularly with the ongoing events in the world. And obviously I'm wanting to keep up to date just for myself as what's happening, and that's one thing that I've experienced throughout this whole, pandemic, is information overload and really understanding that it's not really possible to keep up with everything that's happening because it's happening so quickly, which is the final chapter of my book, which is The Quickening, and to actually navigate that as well. So some of the book is really focusing on mindset through the awakening and what the awakening really is. So it's not a book on conspiracy or something like that, or perhaps what people would think those themes are in terms of the global power structure and these sorts of things. No, it's more how do I, in my soul, in my heart, how do I negotiate this colossal paradigm shift, and how do I stand in my truth, how do I contribute, and how do I elevate my frequency to head in the right direction, and what is awakening? So it really discusses everything from, the New Age movement, the problems with the New Age movement, the problems with the truth movement, the perspective of mindset around the continual barrage of negative information, what the process of evolution really looks like, the 3D, 5D time split in the timelines that are now bifurcating, how I define the three classes of souls, how to navigate and integrate fear, which is a big one, which is a big tool of the elite, how to work with fear, and some tips for awakening and basically pointing our spiritual compass in the right direction. It does detail the seven chakras and their role in the awakening, some of the more key aspects of awakening, such as joy and presence. As I mentioned, the chapter on why some people just don't get it would be probably worth just reading it just for that one chapter, because I've seen this repeatedly throughout the conversation of the pandemic since 2020 of, wake up, why can't people understand what's going on? Why don't people have eyes to see? And that's really just the effect. And I detail the cause, and I really go into the causality of why people don't understand what's going on and learning to be at peace with that, because that's really something that we really need to start to think about, how can I be at peace and not be in a state of constant anger and frustration as we move through this. So I'm also discussing waking others up, which and how to do that. becoming multidimensional. There's a chapter on social media, and then we start to go into a little bit of some of the key aspects of the awakening in terms of the spiritual ego, the hero's journey, the external savior complex, which you mentioned earlier, the Schumann resonance, the false light, how to, you know, deal with being triggered, awakening the spiritual warrior, and also the quickening. So it's pretty juicy. There's a lot of things there actually that are really just scratching the surface in many ways of where this conversation is going to go through this tumultuous 20-year period, which won't be concluded by the time we get to 2040. But when you look at the agenda of the elite in terms of what they're going to try to implement on humanity, this is the decade where it's all going to unfold. This will not end 2030, but we will see things are going to be radically different by the time we exit this decade. So that is something that I really felt called to write, put it down in print. It's very conversational style. It's not really wordy and difficult to understand. It's written in plain English. It is, at least I think, quite humorous in some parts, and it should come with a major trigger warning because people's viewpoints are going to be challenged in some ways, and particularly with some of the spiritual bypassing of the New Age movement, they're in for a bit of a cold shower, unfortunately.
Okay, that's fair enough. Joan wants to know, Eden just mentioned it again, what is the name of his book? Can we buy it online now? It would make a great Christmas gift for someone.
It's called Paradigm Shift, The Global Awakening of Humanity, 2020 to 2040. You can buy it on Amazon at the moment on Kindle, and it's also printed, but you just have to make sure that you're in the right Amazon store. There's something with that that I don't fully understand yet, that it says it's out of print. My understanding is that if you're in your right store, wherever your account is, that you'll still be able to order that. You just have to make sure you're in the correct store. But Kindle shouldn't be a problem anywhere around the world. Yeah.
Okay. Now, sometimes I ask this question to a guest, and it's kind of putting you on the spot. But I say, right, say we had a crystal ball, and it's a year on, right? And I have you back on after a year. So it's now the 28th of November, 2022. What would you say would have happened? What would you like to see happen, or what do you think may happen over the year since we last spoke?
Well, it's a great question. And I think that the events are now moving so quickly that this light and dark are going head to head. So it's a converging now that all these events are intensifying in the speed of the events, and also the events themselves are becoming more extreme. I mean, the protest march that we had last weekend in Australia and the week before, I would never have picked 2-3 years ago. I did make reference in 2019 that there would be more activism, but I didn't anticipate it would be on the scale of what we've just seen. For example, where I live on the Sunshine Coast, there was a protest march in the park, which is in my neighbourhood, which is literally not even a 5-minute walk away. And that was the biggest protest march that I've even ever heard about in the history of the Sunshine Coast. It wasn't just a march, it was a gathering as well. And definitely in the 18 years that I've lived here. So, you know, that in itself is unprecedented. The intensity of the people speaking out will only increase. There will be a developing of new systems gradually, more community cooperation at a local level. Many people have felt, you know, alienated, you know, if they're star seeds or just awake and have no one to talk to. That will actually become more localized now. It's already started, but these movements, these grassroots movements, will start to grow in the local community, and that's going to be help people feel more connected to their immediate environment. the counter moves to the agenda of the elite will intensify, and basically the ante is just going to increase on both sides of the equation. So unfortunately, there is the possibility, and I want to energize this, of some kind of false flag. I mean, you have to understand that the modeling of the elite is taking into account every single move that the masses, the collective, are making at this point. They are well prepared for different levels of activism, and their strategy is taking into account many of the actions that the collective will take, as you've asked, next year. They've already thought all this through. It's all in their modelling. The problem that they have is the extent to which the compliance with the mandates will be continued. And it really hinges on the compliance or the continued support of the police force and of even the military. So I do think that by the time we get to next year, you're going to see radical instability in the world economy, whether that's increasing breakdown of the supply chain, it's not financial advice, but the soaring of various investments to take as a protection against inflation, and traditionally that has been land, silver, gold. At this time around, it will include crypto. So a movement to invest in assets that will be hedged against inflation, a movement towards greater self-sufficiency and connecting with the land, and through that more communal living, further breakdown of the systemic structures and the trust in those structures that our whole way of living is based around, including the medical system, the education system, the political system, the financial system, greater disturbance in the ecosystem and Mother Earth herself, greater natural disasters in terms of earthquakes, tsunamis, fires, floods, and all the immediate challenges that can create through Mother Earth going through her own shift, actually. Greater distrust of the government, more people getting engaged in the political process, newer candidates rising, greater tyranny attempted to be introduced by the elite, greater distrust in the mainstream media, lower ratings in the mainstream media, more and more prominent people realising that the agenda is completely tyrannical and speaking out, people of positions of influence, people with high net worth, more socioeconomically empowered people, professional people taking a stand, the collective not compromising, rejecting the mandates of the government. Personally, I advise people only to do what is lawful and peaceful. I don't advocate any violence or anything like that. Birth of new social media systems, rapid uptake of new social media systems, more people actually making content of a higher caliber and starting to monetize that content on social media. So there is a birth of a new kind of journalism that isn't just dependent on people's goodwill. Starting to, and the other side of the equation, the rats start to turn on each other. I mean, you saw the comments made by Marcon about Scott Morrison, the Australian Prime Minister at the G20, when he was asked by a journalist if he thought that Scott Morrison had lied. He goes, if he thought Scott Morrison had lied, and Marcon replied, I don't think I know. So you're going to see like greater division occur because they will basically start to turn on each other and start to be pressed for their own survival, their own political survival, their own instinctual survival. So there will be an intensification of the agenda of the elite, but also fissions and fractures in that as well. And really, it's, as far as that question goes, anything else can happen. I think in terms of contact and in when we look at the UFO phenomenon and the bigger galactic picture, which we haven't really touched on in this interview, that this is our fight. I know many of the contactees are talking about greater levels of awareness around the ET issue. I think that that's too early. I think that there will be more sightings, more low-level contact, but the kind of, you know, iconic face-to-face contact that people are expecting through this paradigm shift, I don't think we're there in the next 12 months. I think that it is the role of humanity to grow up and become sovereign individuals, and this soul evolution is reflected through this tyranny, and it's needed, it's necessary as a mechanism for us to grow at an individual and collective level. So more activism and, gosh, there's a bunch of themes that I just know that I haven't touched on there, but it's exciting, Alan. I tell you, it will be a year from now, but there will be a lot of other things that no one would have seen coming as well. And the destabilization means that there is a vacuum in which the new paradigm, the new earth, can be born.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a very interesting time over the next few months, and we'll definitely hook up again and we'll touch base and we can compare notes. For now, Anthony, thanks a lot for getting up at 3:00 in the morning and being on live. Appreciate you coming on, and good luck with the book. I hope it works out well for you there. I'm sure it's packed with information, beneficial information for people. Before I let you go there, just give out all your links there where people can find you regarding your website and stuff like that.
Oh, well, I'm on social media, Anthony O'Flynn, O'FLY NN, Telegram, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, BitChute, websites, which for your international viewers, not so relevant, but holisticyoga.net and paradigmshift.com.au. I'll be starting to do more video content in 2022 on those platforms. So I want to sort of contribute where I can. I'm probably going to start to focus more on the spiritual dimension of the shift. My contribution so far, really in the last year or so on social media, has been more on the political, social issues, but I think that's been necessary. But I think I'll move into the spiritual dimension, which is, for me, the real key area that's necessary for us to make this quantum leap of consciousness.
Brilliant. Okay, Anthony, just stay with me there. Thanks a lot for coming on. We're just going to go off to a musical break, and we'll be back after this.
You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio.
There you go, folks. That's Anthony O'Flynn from Australia on the Sunshine Coast, Queensland. And Anthony's a great guest. He's just released his book called Paradigm Shift. You can find it on Amazon. And it was good catching up and finding out what his thoughts are and everything that's going on, especially being now in Australia, because they're going through a hard time. And obviously, over the next few weeks, if these laws that the government want to bring in over here in Ireland, and they want to avoid scrutiny, if they come in on the 15th of December, well, then that will just, it'll be definitely a totalitarian state that we're in. And I don't know what really is the solution to wake people up. I know more and more people are waking up over time, which is great to see, but we still need more people to wake up and say, no more, we're not having this. As I say, well done to everybody who attended the protest on yesterday in Dublin. It was great to see people there having their say. But you have to remember that the politicians are just puppets for the elites. They're given a hymn sheet, and Stephen Donnelly, Leo Varadkar, Micheál Martin, they're all just puppets, you know, given a hymn sheet. Now, they definitely should be held accountable. When this show is over, when this all collapses, they should be held accountable. And I don't really care what excuse they come out with. You know, again, we have Nuremberg 2 trials that are apparently around the corner, and there's a lot of legal people and doctors involved. And that's apparently happening. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. But I know for one thing, history tells us something. Eventually, these people will be caught and they will be held accountable. That's what history tells us in a lot of cases. So it's just a matter of time. We just have to stay strong in our own energy, try and be around like-minded people, and try and keep a high energy as much as we can, and stay away from the negative stuff. Now, I know it's hard because obviously if you're unvaxxed, you're, it's very hard to go to certain places where you're used to going. I know there's restaurants have an outside area. I've done that. I've gone to a restaurant where they've had the unclean people. It was great because it was only us sitting there. It was great. So we had the whole place to ourselves, and it wasn't that cold either. It was fine, and nice food as well. So, they're just doing what they're told to do by the government. There's no point having to go with them, you know. I'm sure they don't want to do it, and that's the last thing they want to do. But they're just concerned about the laws and the fines and everything else. And I know there's some businesses that are kind of just doing their own thing anyway and not listening to what the government is saying. And as soon as, if all the businesses, what I can't understand is, right, we have a vintners society or a vintners group, where all the pubs are, a lot of pubs are signed up to. Why don't they all get together, the vintners group, support all the pubs and go to the government and say, here's the mandate. If you don't do what we ask you to do and stop this rubbish that's going on, we're going to sue you. We want to sue the government or sue individuals, hold them accountable. Or we're just going to ignore your mandate and we'll support any pub that opens up and ignores the laws. We'll support them and we'll expose, you know, what's going on. Because Stephen Donnelly, I was going to say he's pulling his hair out, but he hasn't on the pull out. Stephen Donnelly is trying to enforce it again, you know. And who are the people that are going around exposing, you know, oh, they're not, you know, following the guidelines and the rules or what have you. You know, how sad do you have to be an individual like that and do that job? Really unbelievable. But the good news is that people are beginning to wake up en masse. I'm seeing more and more people. When I go out, I'm seeing more people actually not bothering with the masks and walking around or having the mask pulled down, or they're talking to each other and it's down. But, you know, people are beginning to cotton on that there's something not right and it's just ridiculous. So, you know, it's just a matter of time. We just have to be patient. All of us, we have to be patient. But, you know, this has to be played out because people have to wake up to what's going on. And I know we are all woken up. I know we all know what's going on and have known for a long time. But we have to be patient for them people to catch up. And we have to wait for them to wake up. And then if they're there and they're asking questions, we will try and help them and support them as much as we can. Okay, the other thing I just want to mention, I had Harry on the show last week, and Harry, we were talking about kanja mushrooms, and I bought some off Harry, and I'm putting it on my dinner now, just a sprinkle on the dinner, and I asked Harry for some information about the Cajun or Kanjan mushrooms. And wow, they are really a superfood. You really want to look into it, folks. He sent me over a link. And if you're on my Facebook or on the Circle of White Light Radio Facebook page, pop over there. You don't need to be on Facebook to actually see the page because it's public. Pop over there. I did post the link up of a video all about the superfood and what it contains. It is phenomenal, folks. It really is. And if you can just, and it's very cheap as well on Harry's site. It's only like $9.50 a bag or something like that, you know, so it's not expensive. But if you can, you know, for, again, giving your body what it needs, because definitely I'd really try and avoid the medical system at this moment in time with everything that's going on. You know, it's 19th century medicine. Now, I'm not going to knock everything, because there are certain things that you need to be sorted. If you break your leg and stuff like that, obviously, or, you know, maybe you have a heart attack, you need to go in and stuff like that. But generally, you know, I think for now, at this moment in time, staying away from hospitals would be a good thing. But check out the kanja mushrooms. Yeah, one of them names. And see what you think yourself. If you want the link, if you can't find it on Facebook or you can't find it on the Circle of White Light Facebook page, send me an email to contact us at circleofwhitelight.com. I'll send you the link, and the guy goes into detail of the benefits of what they are and how to use them, you know. So I'm now, every day when I have my dinner, I have a sprinkle of that on there, you know, just to top up things. Obviously, I'm still doing my watermelon and bananas and grapes and stuff like that, trying to do what I can with the budget that I have to try and, you know, give my body, you know, the vitamins and the proteins that it needs. Because as we all get older, remember, our bodies change, you know, the whole 7-year cycle. And in our younger days, we produced a lot of this stuff, and as we get older, we don't produce it. So we have to actually supplement it by the diet that we have. So it's important that we actually look at our diet and change as we get older to give our body what it needs. And obviously, cider vinegar, apple cider vinegar, I take that as well. I pop that in a bit of water as well, and I'll drink that. So something to alkaline your body with, apple cider vinegar. Right, for myself, we say goodnight. Next week, at the moment, I'll tell you what I'm going to be doing. The guests on the show next week will be pre-records with Anthony Peake and Lucia Dashkivic, which I did during the week. Anthony I did a few weeks ago, but Lucia I did, I think, last week. So I might do them two pre-records, but if I do get a guest on who wants to jump on and have a chat, I might just change it. So keep an eye on the schedule on the website, and you'll see the change there on there. But for myself, thanks everybody for logging in the chat room and chatting away, and all your questions, much appreciated. Take it easy, stay safe, have a good week, and hopefully that, you know, storm that we should be finished with that now, that was gone. I think they went over to Scotland. But it's probably going to be icy, and it might be snowing at some point. I'm sure we're going to see it. So stay safe. Take it easy on the roads if it's icy and it gets cold. And we'll see you next week. So take care and bye-bye.
You have been listening to Circle of White Light Radio on CircleofWhiteLight.com. Focusing on solutions and thinking different.